Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Don't forget Santa's here from 6 to 7 tonight. Went over and over and over as often as we could as to, you know, how can we bump Kevin? They came up with this Santa thing 80 years ago. Perfect.
Now that is foresight right there. That's looking ahead.
That's also called programming.
It's the oldest continuous show on radio in the Susquehanna Valley.
Actually, in the state.
I think in the country.
It's got to be close. Yeah, it's got to be close.
In the country? Yeah, I would think so in the country. Yeah, it's got to be.
Bob and I, by the way, are very happy, Steve. You remember the other day I said that the U.S. dropped its first game in the curling qualifiers for the Olympics? They have won in day two.
There is hope. There is joy in the world.
Oh, no. I really feel glad now I didn't get rid of my tickets for the parade.
Exactly.
With two wins on Wednesday, the U.S. men's curling rink did avoid a catastrophic 0-2 start.
Happy days.
They're in a three-way tie for second place among the eight participant countries in the qualifiers.
Happy days are here.
We nudged out Greenland and Iceland, probably.
Actually, it's Korea, Czech Republic, New Zealand, and the U.S. Korea, by the way, 3-0. Then followed by France, Germany, Japan, and Finland.
Well, we are number one again.
The U.S. takes on Germany today, but I have not seen the final results there, Bob.
That's critical.
And then tonight they have Japan, too.
It's like World War II, Japan and Germany.
I mean, do you guys remember that long talk we had in the previous hour about ratings?
Yeah. All right, that's it. I'm done, all right? I did my curling thing.
Okay, let me inform Kevin right about now. You keep talking about curling, and you can hear the flush.
I'll tell you what, maybe we should start what the Dan Patrick Show does and do 5 good seconds. Isn't that what it's called? 5 good seconds about soccer? We'll do that with curling.
Yeah. 5 good seconds.
Well, it helps one of our sponsors, our Friday sponsor, because beer and curling go together.
No offense, but beer goes with a lot of these guys.
That's true.
Okay. Really, I mean, let's not pigeonhole them here. Okay. All right. Let's be honest about it. All right. Let's get to the NFL. Tonight's actually a pretty good game tonight. You have the Chargers and the Broncos. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about Thursday Night Football is that the players hate it. We talk about the quality of the games. People are watching it. And if the Texans and the Jags are going to get a 5+ rating on a Thursday night, what's Peyton Manning and the Broncos going to get against the Chargers, which actually, I mean, maybe an all West, Mountain Time Zone, Pacific Time Zone matchup, but it's a matchup people I think will be attracted to.
Well, and Peyton Manning's really has a national following too.
Sure,
he's just not a pigeonholed guy that was somewhere out in the West Coast that rears his head every couple of weeks. He is just really has fans across the country. So
right, exactly.
That'll draw them in.
They have the best record. Mm-hmm. San Diego's fighting in the playoffs. San Diego's actually a pretty exciting team to watch, to be frank with you. I think they're actually a good watch on top of it. So that's a big plus. And we'll see how she plays out tonight. But that's actually a pretty good Thursday night game. There are a lot of people now talking about the absurdity of the number of bowl games, but again, people are watching them. So, I mean, what's interesting is that we in the media find things to complain about. There are too many bowl games. Okay. It's interesting how people, take for example, let's take ESPN. Too many bowl games. Yet their network carries them left and right because the ratings are good. You know, the ratings are really good.
Bowl games are like Hershey peanut butter cups. You just can never have enough of them.
It seems like it. And even though we complain about 6-6 teams playing in it and things like that, people still end up watching the darn things. I mean, Kevin didn't realize it, but after watching the game in Boise last year, he went out and he bought 20 bags of potatoes. I mean, it just has an influence on what you're doing.
And I painted my carpet green. Or blue, rather. Sorry.
Wow. I'm waiting for Eastern Washington to host a bowl game, and they're playing on that red turf.
Oh, now that's a little too much. But the blue turf in Boise.
By the way, just a quick update on these scoreboards at Beaver Stadium. They're closed off here in State College, Curtin Road. It's closed off right now. They have not taken down the scoreboards yet. They're going to. They're in the process of assembling the big crane that has to do the job. So that's what's happening right now with that. They'll take them down and then install the new ones. The installation isn't going to take that long, but that's how they have to do it. And they actually are in the process, because of the weight, need a crane so big to do this. They are assembling the crane literally in the street.
Now, what will happen to the old scoreboards? Will Penn State donate them to State College High School or something like that? Or where do they go?
That's a good question, Bob. I don't know what, if anything, they're going to do with them. What really bothered me was, for example, when they took the AstroTurf out of Haluba Hall and replaced it with field turf, I had made the suggestion that they take that and they cut it up and sell it and then give the money to charity, like Coaches versus Cancer or whatever. And they said, well, who the heck would want that? I said, are you nuts? Yeah, I said the 1986, 1994 teams all practiced, I think 2005, practiced on that turf all the time indoors at Haluba Hall. I said, people would eat this up. You know, they have it as their walkway into the house, as their welcome mat. To have it. You cut it up into that size and sell it and then give the money to charity. They never did it. They rolled it up and they threw it into a shed.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one of the things that happened here locally that was very impressive, Steve. Up around the Muncie Mall, there was a indoor facility for various sports, and it had a roof on it, and the roof collapsed. So the owners of it took up the AstroTurf inside this facility, donated it to Lycoming or Loyal Sauk High School. Now they've got an AstroTurf field.
And that's tremendous.
Yeah.
That's great.
And, you know, they didn't know what to do with it. And one of my friends, Danny Klingerman, who owns Clinton County Country Club, among other things, was one of the owners. And he just, the high school was there, Loyal Sauk, and they had a huge ceremony. But, yeah, I'd be curious to see what they're going to do with those scoreboards. I hope they don't scrap them. You know, there's some deserving
stadium, you know what,
out there.
But you know what, Bob? They're obsolete. I mean, they were put in 2001, and they really are obsolete because, I mean, that's really scoreboard. They're video boards.
Yeah.
You have to have all the electric, and they're so big.
Yeah.
Bob, they're so big, I just don't think they can do anything with it except scrap it.
Well, put it over on the field hockey field. I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's what is going to be the new scoreboard? What's going to be the effect when you look at it if you're sitting in Beaver Stadium next year? What will you see that's different?
Your TV
really?
In your living room. That's what you're going to see. The TV in your living room.
Wow.
It's HD quality, so when you look at it, it's going to look crystal clear. You look at a replay, and you're going to sit there and think that you're sitting there watching a version of your home television in the stadium. It has the ability to show it completely in the entire width of the board.
And that's one of those things that I guess people would call the wow experience. You look at it and just go, wow.
Right, and I think, you know, that's part of what they're trying to do with it. They're trying to give you that wow experience inside the stadium. Well, and I'm all for it. I think that, as you know, I've talked about this repeatedly, about you have to make the stadium experience as good as the home experience because the ambiance can then overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's part of what they're trying to do with this here. And these boards, the other part with this is they're supposed to put in a distributed sound system in the stadium. Now, I had somebody argue with me that's in the know and says, well, we already have a distributed sound system in the stadium. I says, geez, Dave, no, you don't. I said, it blasts out of that one end, and everybody in the upper deck, they're dying, you know, because every time you turn around, somebody's either yapping way too much, right? I mean, you go to every other stadium, they don't talk in that much, and or they're playing something. And I said, the people up there in the upper deck, they're dying up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've been up there, Bob.
I'm up with Bob Uecker up in the cheap seats.
I mean, you've been up there. You know darn well. That, I mean, you go. I mean, I don't know how you handle it.
Must be in the front row.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And, you know, the video that they have in the end zone so you can see things, you know, these little monitors, boy, they're really difficult. So that'll eliminate the need for that kind of stuff, too.
No question. I mean, these are going to be boards where anywhere in the stadium you look at it and go, I mean, in other words, when you look at and they're trying to replay whether a guy stayed in bounds or not, you will have the ability to sit in your seat anywhere in the stadium and look at that video board and clearly see whether he's in or out, just like you would on TV at home.
So that means
it's HD.
Yeah, but what that means is the fans on the west side of the stadium will no longer be looking up to you and Jack Hammond in the booth to see the thumbs up or thumbs down on the replay.
Right, they shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, because they'll be able to see it with such clarity on the board now. I mean, and the difference between the old board video capability and this board is exponential.
Sure.
The technology is completely different. And hopefully with a distributed sound system throughout the stadium, you won't feel like it's blast out time as they talk about one thing after another.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very exciting.
But the crane is being assembled right now. It's a crane that is so big that's needed to do this. Because I remember the last time they did this and the size of the crane that they needed. And so it does take actually a few days to do that part. Well, literally, the crane part of it they're assembling is laying in the street right now. That's why Curtin Road's closed off. So that's the update on that. We'll get back with more in a moment. Kevin is assembling more curling results. Bob and I will talk sports as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Touring GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new, Subaru Impreza sedan, under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core-focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. You need to trust somebody more than ever with your finances. Rick is the man. Dave in Sunbury at 800-795-9565. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Steve.
Great to hear from you. Happy holidays, Dave.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I was pulling teeth last night listening to a basketball game.
Well, I wasn't. They won the game. Dave, yeah. You know what? All that matters is they win these darn things. I mean, I said they needed to make the turn at 10-3. Just win them. I'm not into style points. I don't care. This is not figure skating, gymnastics, whatever. You throw up a number, do the best you can, and then move on. You're right. It was not a pretty game at all.
But what I was saying was, like you said, to win. Then the women played an hour later, and they got blown out of the gym.
They did. They lost to South Dakota State. They were down by 20-something points and rallied a bit and then fell short.
Well, I said, just Merry Christmas to you and also to Bob Buhner. Have fun tonight.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Will do. I get to go with Steve Williams. Airtime 706 for those Shikellamy Wrestling Braves.
Yeah, and then Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Say hello to the cousin then.
I will do that. I will pass that along. We're going to have a nice long ride to Loyal Sock Township.
I see tomorrow's game, well, Saturday's game might be snow.
Yeah, it looks like we might. It might be a little white for us for afternoon basketball.
Well, the Saturday, the afternoon and the evening game for state finals doesn't look so good either.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like games in the snow. I think... You know, it's funny. We were talking about it watching the Eagles game a couple of weeks ago.
Well,
and I said to my son, I said, how would you like to play in a game like that? He goes, that'd be awesome.
Well, they packed with the right equipment as opposed to Detroit.
Well, that's true.
Talk to you guys later.
See you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Merry Christmas. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. The benching of Robert Griffin III is certainly creating a real stir across the board. A resentment from some players that, you know, well, great, you know, I get to put my body on the line, but they're resting him. And others just saying, just on pure poor performance, he should not be playing. I think right now, Kirk Cousins gives them the best chance of winning, and I think that is the reason, and they should have stated as so. Kirk Cousins, at the moment, gives them the best chance to win, and that's why he should be playing. Conversely, if I am now a team looking at a mixed bag at quarterback in this draft, I take a long look at the next three games of Kirk Cousins running the show with Washington, and if I like what I see, I might trade my draft pick to get him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a real mixed bag at quarterback right now. I watched Teddy Bridgewater of Louisville. I'm not totally sold. I think he can be a good, functional NFL quarterback. I don't see a star. Blake Bortles, I see Blake Bortles being somebody that, until something changes, is going to be a mix between a starter and a backup in his career. Johnny Manziel is going to be a guy that will get a lot of hype when he gets out there, but I don't know how long he can survive playing the way he plays. Mettenberger, I think, is a little bit later choice with the torn ACL. Aaron Murray, I wouldn't mind picking with a later choice. He's right now going through a torn ACL. Derek Carr, I watch him play with Fresno State guys, not totally sold on him either. So if I'm sitting as an NFL franchise, I'm taking a long, hard look at Kirk Cousins playing the next three games as quarterback for Washington to give myself a read as to whether he is a long-term answer for me.
Steve, are you thinking when you said Bortles, from who's you saw, of course, with Central Florida, well, he's a junior. Is the plan him to go to the draft at the end of this season?
I think he has a decision to make because a lot of people now rank him one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the draft if he were to come out. He actually ended up winning his conference's player of the year. He beat out Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, here's what I want to say to you, Steve Jones. You called it back in the dog days of August about Bortles as a quarterback.
Well, I liked what I saw on tape.
You really did, and he certainly lived up to the expectations that you had for him when you were describing the opening, you know, the Penn State Central Florida game.
Well, I mean, part of it. Well, I appreciate that, Bob. That's awfully nice.
Yeah, but it was true. I mean, remember, because I was thinking, who the heck is this Bortles guy? And you know, you were really speaking of him as in glowing terms as maybe the best quarterback Penn State would see all season, and. In terms of a true drop back passing quarterback, and you nailed it.
Well, I like there are a couple elements of that team I like. Perriman, I think, is an ultra talented guy at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Inconsistent a bit, but ultra talented. The guy I really like among their wideouts is J.J. Wharton. Wharton, you watch him in the Fiesta Bowl. He's just one of those guys that makes a play, makes a play, makes a play. You're not going to sit there and like, oh, my goodness, look how fast he is. No, no, no. He seems to get open. He runs great routes. He makes catches. He makes plays. The former quarterback, Godfrey, I'm not totally sold on him at wideout. He really had to, he asked his way back onto the team, and there were certain conditions he had to meet, and he did, to his credit. Mm-hmm. And they played him at wideout, and he's a really good athlete, and he certainly has a lot of speed, but I'm not totally sold on him as a football player. Storm Johnson, who destroyed Penn State.
Oh, big runners.
Big run. But you know what? He's doing a lot of split now with the freshman William Stanback. But Bortles is the guy that's the trigger guy, and that's what got them to the Fiesta Bowl. Bortles is a redshirt junior. So, right. Bob, he is finishing up his fourth year at Central Florida. And I think he has a decision to make as to whether he should go or not.
And, you know, I don't want to see him in Dublin in late August of 2014. I'd rather see him in the NFL, just saying on behalf of Penn State fans everywhere.
Well, maybe the Steelers should draft him, and then you know that would open the door to trading Roethlisberger, so Roethlisberger get to a winning situation.
Finally. Kevin's shaking his head.
No rise? Nothing?
Yeah. Oh, no, he's just shaking his head.
I'm not even going to respond.
I tried.
Yes, you did.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Go to REWfinancial.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Happy Thursday, everybody. Check out the forecast today with News Radio 1070 WKOK over the next 48 hours. For the latest from AccuWeather and the forecast from the Valley, which right now is calling for 3 to 6 inches of snow. We'll keep you up to date on all that and much more over the next 48 hours. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. I would expect you will find that once you become a customer of Rick's, you will trust Rick the way I do.
Just a fantastic guy.
I mean, great, great guy, but also so smart and knows what to do. That's one of the more important things you have to have with your financial advisor is trust, and Rick is tremendous. The Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau, Jack Hamm is the one that personally nicknamed it. This is... the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So,
a thriving return, metropolis, by the way.
Yes, I'm not surprised. Return to Rec. Now, how many times have you been to Rec Hall, Bob Buhner?
I started going there when the PIAA State Wrestling Championships were held there way back when. And... A lot of great memories of going to things there over the years. Penn State wrestling, I saw a few basketball games, and lots. It has atmosphere to it.
It's quaint.
It has a feeling like you can literally reach out and touch the players because you can.
Well, it has personality.
Yes, and I am so excited about. Penn State actually going back to its, if you lack of a better phrase, roots to play a game there. I've seen Princeton play this year.
They're good. They won at Bucknell.
They did win at Bucknell. Bucknell did not look good that night, but I think it could be because Princeton made them that way. And they play a very deliberate game. They hold the ball for long periods of time. But they have an effective strategy, and what they look for, Steve, is they'll play even with you, lull you to sleep, and the next thing you know, they're up by 7 points.
Yeah, they take some of the Mitch Henderson, who of course played in the same backcourt with Brian Earl back in the old days, for Bill Carmody, and of course was on the staff with Bill for many years at Northwestern. Now he's in his third year at Princeton. They take that Princeton style. They play it faster now. Than they have in the past. They're 7-1. They beat Rutgers last night. Their only loss was a 3-pointer to Butler. So they're 3 points away from being undefeated. or 4 points away from being undefeated, really. And I mean, they're a good basketball team.
They're not a deep team, I don't think. I don't think they go, you know, to number nine player on the bench. But the players that they put in and substitute for are solid players as well. Kind of an interchangeable parts team.
Right. And they have five guys on the floor that can shoot the three.
Yes.
Now, you have wrestling coming up tonight. Of course, wrestling is an important in Rec Hall, by the way, some people will see that they'll see it sold out. I think there are 6,002 tickets available. Now they put 300 standing room only tickets on sale. So it's sold out, but the 300 standing rooms are now on sale. You're saying, well, that's less than a wrestling attendance because there's seven fewer rows.
Yeah.
You had to move the seats back to accommodate a basketball court. And for those who watched the United Center games, Kentucky, Duke, remember that yeah. Michigan State and so forth, that's the court they're using is a repainted court from the court they used that night.
Okay.
So they had to redo it. The court's pretty expensive.
No.
So they brought that in. They're honoring the 91 team, finally, the one that won the Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship, which I still rate as the number one Rec Hall moment for me in terms of games. Rec Hall is a little bit different for me in memories than it is beyond games, and I'll talk about more about that tomorrow. But
I think it was a smart move. You know what's funny to me is you have the basketball team going back to Rec Hall where the wrestlers are, and the wrestlers going over to the Bryce Jordan for a game.
Yeah. I mean, the wrestling thing, you know, let's face it, they're going to go out and wrestle at Iowa, and, you know, somehow, some way, Iowa's going to get 16,004 into the building.
They're going to have one more than Penn State. They're going to they count funny. I tried to go online to look for seats just to see what was available. Let's put it this way. There might be a nosebleed seat left. But that place is going to be packed.
Right. I mean, it was what they sold 15,996 tickets. The actual drop count of the number of people in the building on Sunday actually was only 11,500. So there actually were 4,000 empty seats on Sunday. But there was bad weather as well. But still, the number of tickets sold was awfully impressive. I mean, it set a record. It set a record all the way through.
Now, out at Iowa, the seats out there are almost twice the cost of a Penn State a home match ticket, and
right.
So I don't think they make any revenue off of it in a positive way, but
not really.
But they charge more, and their place obviously holds more. And Penn State was just
not much more.
No,
it seats 15,500.
Yeah.
And it's all chairbacks.
Yep.
The way you can break the record is by selling standing tickets and also putting more seats on the floor.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to do it. I expect them to do it. I mean,
and
that's,
you know
that's
what's going to happen, Steve? 2014 is going to come along. Iowa will be in the Bryce Jordan Center, and there'll be one more person attending that than did the Iowa match in Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah. Well,
it'll go back and forth.
It will, except there's some point some fire marshal is going to step in and go, no. that's going to be one of the reasons why, because, you know, to be honest with you, there are fewer seats in the Jordan Center now than the 15,261. There have been seats taken out.
Yeah.
People don't realize these little things along the way. I'm just telling you what reality is. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket here. I'm just trying to tell you what, you know. I mean, I hate when, like, you know, like, we don't bother using facts.
Yeah. Kevin, the reason Steve knows about the seats is that he was somewhere along the line, did something, and somebody forced him to go into the Bryce Jordan and count each and every seat.
Well, but you could see it though. The corners on my left and my right. You see how the corners are done. For example, on the bench side of basketball.
Yeah, they pulled them back.
Those seats are pulled out.
Yeah,
they took those out. The end zones.
Yeah.
Used to come out almost to the basket. Now they're back about 20 feet, and they used to be tapered going out. They took those seats out too.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there are fewer seats actually in the building now than there were. 10 years ago. I mean, just the way it is. It's just they decided to do it. It's and also at the same time, the Jordan Center people don't like setting up all the chairs. That bugs me, but that's you know, we're not gonna let certain things get in the way of the truth here because that is the truth.
And you know, and that is just so wrong. I hate to say it. And
sure it is.
It's all. I mean, I think that what has happened with the coming of Kale Sanderson to Penn State is that all of a sudden that got the – not only did Kale start fielding great teams, we all know that, what he's done, but that got the attention of the people back in Iowa. And this is really developing into what I think will be the Super Bowl of collegiate wrestling.
Well, isn't Saturday's – or I'm sorry, Sunday's match with Ohio State, is that a sellout as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's sold out, but there'll be more people at that sellout than at the basketball sellout. The reason is
more seats are available.
You had to take seven rows out to do basketball.
Yeah, and the so
I don't want anybody to sit there. Oh, look at hey guys, let's do this as adults. Let's understand what the facts are. Okay, the facts are this. Okay, there are going to be fewer people in Rec Hall Saturday than Sunday. Why? Because they took seven rows of seats out to accommodate a court as opposed to a mat. It's mm-hmm. just a different. It's just different.
And, you know, Rec Hall still, you know, going back, whether it's wrestling or basketball, it is still just a great place for sporting events.
Well, yeah. I mean, for the most, I mean, on each side you're on top. The end zones are lousy. Yeah. I mean, it's some of the, and for each team on Saturday, it's going to be a completely different experience because neither team's ever played a game in there before. Neither team has ever experienced the shooting background in there before. And the shooting background there is completely different than any other place because of how far away the end zone seats are. I mean, it really is. It may take a little bit for each team to get used to playing in there because neither one's ever played a game in there before. Penn State practiced in there last year, but they went sideways.
Yeah.
Because they bring, you know, they have those baskets they bring down from the ceiling, which they use for intramurals.
I mean,
that's what they practiced on. They went actually the width of Rec Hall and not the length of it because you can't. There's no electronics there to put baskets in.
I've been to Jadwin Gym in Princeton for wrestling, but I've never been there for a basketball game. And I'm just wondering how difficult it's going to be for Princeton, who's never obviously even seen Rec Hall, to come in and make the adjustment from what they're used to in Princeton to here.
But neither's Penn State.
Well, but at least they can go over and they can hang out and get a sense of and feel for the place. Well, I mean, just to go over and hang out. I mean, not to practice necessarily as a team, but Rec Hall's their place. And they can go over and see it and get a sense of it.
Actually, no, Bob. Oh. You got to remember that except for a volleyball court or gymnastics or wrestling, they haven't put a basketball court in there in 17 years.
No, what I'm saying is get a sense of the feeling, not of the court, but of what is Rec Hall, what it means, the environment, that kind of stuff.
I don't think you do till you actually are the one out there playing.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, and a lot of this deals with shooting background.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have a feel for depth perception in that building. The depth perception in that building is different than other. I mean, for anybody else. So both teams, Penn State's going to be absolutely encouraged and buoyed by the support and the vocal support, no question. But in terms of trying to get used to playing basketball in there, they'll be about as used to it as Princeton is.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, this came really home to me last year when Bucknell went to Lexington, Kentucky to Rupp Arena. You know, after playing in Soica, and then all of a sudden you're in Rupp Arena, which seats slightly over 22,000 or maybe even more, and it's a big cavernous place. And to go from the intimacy of Soica and then to go mm-hmm. there, they suffered shooting-wise. You know, Mike Muscala did not have a good game there, and thankfully, Willman did to keep him in it, but still, it was a difficult adjustment for everybody on that team to transition from going the opposite way from a small, intimate place to a big, mm-hmm. cavernous place.
Right, and so for when Penn State went in there and beat Kentucky in 2000, the 2000-2001 mm-hmm. season, you know, you play in the Jordan Center. I mean, you're talking, you may be talking 7,000 more seats, but it's still the same cavernous effect.
Yes.
That you have in there. So it's not that bad. The Crispins had no issue playing in there. But I've had people say to me, well, maybe they had to play all the games in there, or maybe they had to play a half dozen games in there. And I look at them and I said, look, you've got to have a big, big picture feel for this. This is big boy basketball. Okay? You're playing against the big guys, which means you have to recruit against the big guys. You have to remember that how you feel as a fan, for the most part, is not how a 17-year-old feels. A 17-year-old, which is now used to watching on television year after year after year, the Rupps, the Dean Domes, the Assembly Halls, the Breslins, and so forth, that's what they expect in their college basketball arena. I think you have to be a magician to sell them on, this is where you play, really.
Yeah, and you know, it's to show you the contrast, Steve, between wrestling and basketball. You take a wrestler into Rec Hall for a sellout, people literally sitting on top of you cheering wildly. That's got to be a huge recruiting advantage for Kale Sanderson, plus all the other advantages he has to show people, because wrestlers like that kind of a setting. They just do.
Well, first of all, it's bigger than their gym to begin with.
Yeah.
All right, so now already you're in there, and it's you have the atmospherics and so forth, and to them it's a big-time situation. And it's where, except for like Carver Hawkeye, you know, everybody else wrestles in that kind of gym in the Big Ten anyway, that kind of setting. Jad, when you mentioned Jenison Hall, I mean, at Michigan State, that's where they wrestle.
Yeah,
that's
they
where
don't
that's
in the
their
Big
old, yeah, that's their old basketball arena and the whole thing. Okay. So that's where they wrestle. In basketball, you need to be at least in the ball game when you're recruiting with other schools. So you bring them into the Jordan Center, and they see 15,000 blue seats. Well, you go into Breslin, you see 15,000 green seats. You go into Cole, you see 17,000 red seats. You know, wherever you happen to be. You go into Illinois, you see 16,000 gray seats. They are gray. They're changed. That's part of their big renovation. They're changing it over. But, I mean, now you look around and say, okay, looks like all the other big-time places. Great. They play big-time basketball here. Take them in the locker room. Now, you guys haven't been in the Penn State locker room, but it's a great locker room setting. It's beautiful, including the break, the lounge and the whole thing. Weight room, great. Practice gym, great. Now you're even with everybody else. Now you got to sell them on your program and so forth. Unfortunately, you can't do that at Rec Hall.
No.
You can't do that. You can't bring them in and go, here's the locker room. No. You can't bring them in and go, here's the envision this room. Envision what? we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Lance Armstrong says he was singled out because he's not nice.
That and a few other reasons will get you singled out every time.
I'm not giving Lance Armstrong the time of day. He disappointed me.
That's the difference. I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah. Big news from Chicago. Jay Cutler back from injury will start on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. The quarterback that really took over for him is going to be on the bench. That's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and I disagree with them on that. I would have kept going with Josh McCown. They're winning with him.
Yeah,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
He put up 45 points the other night. Not bad.
Well, it was against Dallas's defense, so maybe.
Yeah, that had something to do with it. And you know, you, Steve, have commented about one of the former Penn State players that's with Dallas, Sean Lee, who's a incredible defensive talent. And guess what? He injured himself again. Oh, my goodness. It was just painful to watch.
Well, you know what? My understanding is that they think he'll play this weekend.
Wow.
RG3 won't.
Nope.
I'm telling you right now, I'm an NFL team. I take a long, long, long look at Kirk Cousins. And if I like what I see the next three games, because I think he has an NFL-ready game, I think about maybe swinging a trade. I don't give up a number one for him. But if Dan Snyder is so enamored with RG3, I'd take a long look at Kirk Cousins. Wouldn't give up a number one, but I'd take a long look at him.
Could be a bidding war.
Today, show brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484.